Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
God is so good. And last week we talked about this thing called relationship and fellowship. And we discovered last week that if we're born again, we have and we are in a relationship with God. Yes or no? Yes, when we're born again, we are born as a child. We started singing about it today, about us being, I am a child of God. When you're born again, you're a child of God, and you're birthed into the family of God. That is a relationship. God has taken care of you and I as far as the relationship. He takes care of that. He sent his son. He died. He was buried. And he rose again, and he brought life to us. Everyone that accepted the work that he did on the cross, you become born again. Amen. You're in relationship. He did that. You and I didn't. We are the recipients of what he did. Amen. So when we look at this thing about our relationship, we begin to realize and understand scripturally that when Jesus says, you must be born again, how many of you know that when he says, you must, you must? If you're going to experience the kingdom life, if you're going to experience the and be able to do the things that he did, you must be born again. It's not about being religious. You can have all the theology and all the doctrines that you want, which are very good. I'm not against doctrines. But if that's all you have and you do not have relationship, you've got head knowledge without a heart experience. And God wants all of us to have the heart experience with God that we are his. We belong to him and he belongs to us. So we covered a lot of that last week, but this week we're going to be covering the thing that's going to bring us into the fullness of that relationship. And we sort of demonstrated last week that you can be in a relationship without fellowship, and that relationship sort of becomes stale, even though it's still a relationship. We made an example out of this beautiful couple up here, but saying if they just got married, seven years, and but if they just got married and he just walked away and said, well, you know, I'll see you in sometime, I don't know when, you know, and then he goes on about just doing, and there's no fellowship, there's no communication. See, that's what fellowship, this thing about fellowship means. It means communion. It means communication. It means partnership. It means sharing. It means talking together. It means to have the intimate bond together. You know, this thing about fellowship is so watered down by some things in the church that we feel like that we fellowshiped just like here. Now, there is a form of fellowship, but the depth of fellowship cannot be experienced right here. Yeah, she's saying amen. I agree. That's being interpreted, you know. But see, this thing of fellowship is so crucial to our development as Christians. See, this thing of relationship, we're still his son, we're still his daughter, even when we do wrong. But what happens in our doing wrong, if we're not correcting what we're doing, our behavior will take us away from the part of being close with him. You remember that passage? It says, draw nigh unto God and he will draw nigh unto you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. You know, that's not talking about salvation. It's talking about the fellowship. It's talking about if you need to draw near, it means you're not as near to him as you need to be. See, that is the fellowship part. You're still a son, you're still a daughter. But you can be following from a distance. And we're not really participating in what he's doing. We don't have our hearts and our ears tuned in to what he wants us to do. Fellowship is a weakness, and the lack of it is a weakness in the church. Because we have believed this thing that if we get together and break bread, that is fellowship. It is, but it's very shallow. If you just eat together and talk about the sports or talking about whatever you want to talk, that thing is very shallow. But see, fellowship is the thing that you partner with. You're in partnership with. So whether you know it or not, the person that is beside you, the person that is near you, you need them. Amen. They need you. Right? Paul told us that in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, about the body. You know, the eye cannot say, I don't need the ear. I don't, I'm just going to do my own thing. Mm-mm. Your own thing needs to be done in concert with the whole thing. Amen. And that's the fellowship. We fail when we start making everything shallow. And if you and I begin to think that, well, it's just about us just getting together. Well, that's just the beginning. It's hard to fellowship at a distance. Yeah, you've got to come out of the comfort zone. So you have to be able to go deeper in your fellowship to be able to be partners. You have to be able to communicate. You have to be able to share. You have to be able to be at this place to where you're conversing, but you're listening as much as you're saying. And you're caring. It also means to contribute. It means to make a contribution toward. When the Bible talks about taking communion, that word communion is actually the word fellowship. You're communing with his body and his blood. You're fellowshipping with his body and his blood when you do that. See, fellowship is something that's going to catapult your relationship to the fullness that he wants it to be. You're already a son, you're already a daughter. But the closeness and the bond that you have may not be what it needs to be. May not be what it needs to be. And the reason being is because fellowship is lacking. In a relationship, you possess God. In fellowship, he possesses you. You're already his son, you're already his daughter. But the fellowship takes you and I to a much deeper level in our relationship with him. We're still a son, still a daughter. But the closeness has not been developed because we have not fellowshipped with the Word. We have not partnered with the Word. We have not made partnership with prayer. Our prayer life becomes weak and ineffective. Because we lack the fellowship, because we only run to prayer when we need something. He wants us to run with him, run to him all the time. Just sit in his lap. Just posturing yourself to, you know, to you can commune with him in a way that is a communion that is a togetherness, that we're partnering together. I know I'm your son, but I want to walk in more of my inheritance from you. See, we have the richest relationship on earth. But we live like beggars a lot of times because there's no fellowship. We haven't been to the place to where we set aside time. You know, the Bible tells us to redeem the time. In other words, it's going to cost. That redemption thing is, it's going to cost you to get it. It's going to cost you to buy it. You're going to have to sacrifice. You got to give up something in order to get this. And that's the same way with fellowship. You're going to have to give up something to be able to fellowship. You could have been doing anything. This part of fellowship is fellowshipping together around the Word of God, around where we're worshiping together. That's a form of our fellowship. But see, you can walk away not knowing anything about the person next to you. Not knowing what they're going through, not knowing what their prayer needs are, not knowing, not sharing, not knowing that you have something that they need. Why? It's because we don't know how to fellowship. See, one thing is to fellowship with I'm talking, I'm not even looking at the verses, but I want you to look at this, that about fellowship. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. This word called, you know what this word means? Pastor Charlie said it when he was at the piano. I think it was when he was at the piano, that he said, he has invited you to fellowship. That's what this word call means. He's faithful, and he has invited you into fellowship. He's invited you. The invitation is given to you. See, you get in the relationship first, and then the invitation to fellowship is there. But he said he's faithful. Why is he saying he's faithful about that? Because he knows how crucial it is for you and I to mature as Christians, to make the difference that we need to make in our families, in our homes, in our schools, wherever we are, in our church, wherever we are. He's faithful, and he's invited. So we have fellowship with whom? Jesus. Okay, next one. That which we have seen, we heard, and heard, we declare unto you, that which you also may have fellowship with us. You may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. No, I have fellowship with Jesus. And now he says, I have fellowship with the Father. The next thing he says, the grace of the Lord Jesus, or the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. Now, here's the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Who are we supposed to fellowship with? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Partnership. This thing about being partnership and being in communion with. This thing about communicating. This thing about, I got some others. Communication, communion, partnership, participation, contact, sharing, association. So all this, you know, even Peter at one time, you know, he denied being close to the Lord. I've seen you hanging around him. You're one, not me. See, this thing of fellowship is with the Father, with the Son, and with the Holy Spirit. This thing of participating with all of them as one. So your fellowship, your relationship with God, you're born of God. You are a son. You are a daughter. He took care of that. Your works didn't do that. His work on the cross did. But this thing I call fellowship is something that you take care of or don't take care of. Has there been times in your life since you've been a Christian that you did not fellowship with him? I'll raise mine. Went through a season many, many years ago, went through a season where I just, nope, but I was still his son. He was still my father. I was born of God. But my fellowship with him was at a distance, just like the prodigal son who went into a foreign land. But he was still a son. See, his fellowship has been diminished so that the church a lot of times doesn't feel the impact of what fellowship does until you start fellowshipping. Then you realize, what have I been missing out with? What have I been missing out on? It says your fellowship within the gospel from the first day until now. So you have fellowship with the good news. You have fellowship with the very things that God has told you concerning his presence, concerning who he is, concerning who you are. You fellowship with the good news. We take in so much bad news that it's hard for us to see the good news. We take in so much intel, so many things, and feel like we'll get behind if we don't. Mm-mm. I'm not saying you neglect what the world is doing. I'm just saying you just don't drink of it all the time. I remember Francis Frenchman saying one person came to Francis and he had a word for him and he came up. He said, "I got a word for you, Francis, that the Lord wanted me to tell you." He said, "Well, what is it?" He said, "He told me to tell you, tell Francis I miss him." And Francis knew exactly what he was talking about. He wanted his fellowship. He wanted him to come. He wanted him to participate, to communicate, to share life with. He wanted him to be able to do that. But see, here's the thing about it. Our relationship is solid. It is there. He did it. It's by birth. Fellowship is by choice. And when we choose not to fellowship, not to have this communion with the Lord like we should, then we suffer for it. Amen. He doesn't want us to suffer. He wants us, that's the reason he says, draw nigh, draw near, and I'll draw near. That's the picture of the, listen, that's the picture of the prodigal. When you look at it, it's the picture of the prodigal. Eric, come here. I use you several times, and I'm going to let him be the prodigal. So I want you to go that way. I want you to go that way down the aisle. But see, here's the thing about it. He's out. He's still my son. But he's out, and he's done so many bad things, and he has squandered what God or what the Father has given him. You just hold it right there. But see, the whole time, the Father is doing what? What does the Bible say? What is the Father doing? He's always doing what? He's waiting, but what's he doing? He's looking. He's looking. Longing. What's he longing for? Not for the birthing of a son. He already has one. I've been him. I've been him. But when you come to your senses and you realize go back to my father's house, I'll just go back as a slave. when there is genuine repentance and a returning to God, you won't come demanding. You won't come entitled. That's gone. You'll come to this place to where, if he just make me a slave. Then he leaves the pig pen. He's all dirty, nasty, because of the lifestyle that he's been involved in, even though he's still a son. And he starts down that road. But the father's looking. The Bible says that the father ran to him. Embraced him. You know the rest of it. The fatted calf, the ring, the robe. Celebrating what? His son, who has never stopped being a son, is now back in fellowship that he's been longing for. God bless you, brother. Then it made the elder son, he was real religious, and he got a little angry. I've been here all this time. You've never killed a fatted calf for me. You've never put the ring on me. You've never done. You hear that? That's entitlement. You hear that entitlement? He's been in it the whole time, but what had he not done? Listen to me, what had he not done? Had fellowship with the father, and he never left home. He was right there. See how crucial it is that this thing of fellowship, this thing of participating with, hearing and communing with your heart, communing, connecting with our spirit, to be able to hear the word of God in such a way that the missionaries, they heard the word of God. Why did they hear the word of God? They was in fellowship. They heard God speak. And this is what I want you to go do. Full of unknowns, full of questions, full of uncertainties, full of what is this going to be about? But yet, what do? They obey. They answer that. They're already in relationship. Now their fellowship's getting deeper. This nation's in trouble. There is so much division in this nation. And I'm telling you, it's not going to be straightened out with a Republican or a Democrat or a Libertarian or an Independent or whatever else they line up. It's going to change when the church becomes the fullness of who he said we were. It won't matter about the gates of hell, because they will not be able to, that the gates will not be able to withstand the power of the church that Christ builds. Amen. He's going to build that off of relationship and fellowship. Yeah. But wait, there's more. So this thing about fellowshipping with the fellowship with good news. Hey, when you see something happening on the TV, that look, this stuff is a job security for anybody that's an intercessor. If you're an intercessor, what the world's giving you now is job security. You won't ever run out of that. Fellowship with the good news. When you see something bad news, you can look at it and say, but God. But God. I know how it looks, but God. But what he's looking for is you, me, to be able to stand up and be the voice that we need to be. Be bold as we need to be bold. The righteous are bold as a lion. Fellowship with the gospel. Fellowship with good news. What's the good news? Have you ever been around it, somebody that all the time, well, all they're giving you is bad news? Have you ever been that person? Fellowship with the gospel. Fellowship with this good news. Fellowship with the word. Listen, you know where the body of Christ is now? I didn't ask you where Jesus was. I ask you, where is the body of Christ now? Did anybody know the answer? What? In the desert. But where is the body of Christ physically? In the earth. Everybody say, here I am. We're not all of it, but we're certainly part of it. Are you ready for the rest of it? So how you treat each other is how you treat him. Just pick one foot up and then put I won't step on them too many more times. I really won't. It's not my intention to step on toes. It's my intention to reveal. Without the blue, out of the blue, without the revelation, I mean, we'll be reading the letter of the law, and that's where we'll stay without the revelation. Everybody take a deep breath, because I certainly need to. If therefore any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, that's capital S, by the way, it's fellowship of the Spirit. If there's any affection, any compassion, make my joy complete by being of the, here it goes. What is this thing of fellowship? Being of the same mind. Maintaining the same love. United in spirit. Intent on one purpose. You get it? You see it? Out of fellowship. Do nothing from selfishness and empty conceit. But with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than himself. Let me ask you this question. And I want you to answer it. Who's most important? I'll answer it. He is. She is. She is. Regard them more important than you. Everybody say amen. Amen. I needed that. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interests of others. What do you need? What do you need? You know, I made it a personal thing of mine when we went to the banquet of the prison that was sitting at the table, and I made my mind up, if there's anybody needing anything at this table, I'm going to go get it. That's what I said. If anybody needs anything at this table, I'm after it. I filled up water glasses, went and got water glasses, you know, and that's it. And then Mike over there, he caught wind of it. And he started, I'll go get it. I said, no, I'm going to go get it. And a waitress came by and spilled a lot of stuff, and he almost knocked me out of the way. It was like, step up here. He was sitting over there. She and I was headed, and he just went, I got this. And he's down on his knees. He said, you're a blessing. He just started, you're a blessing. I got this, honey. You just go do what you want to do. It just, down on his knees, just wiping up. And it's contagious. Have this attitude in yourselves, which is also in Christ Jesus. Fellowship with him. And then fellowship with us, with each other. This thing of fellowship is koinonia. And this thing is so rich and so deep. That's the reason the Father says in his word, you fellowship with me, you fellowship with my Son, and you fellowship with my Spirit. You communicate. You have this intimacy. Yeah, and You abide. You know, people say, well, you just need to abide. Abiding is the practice of fellowship. I'm going to skip some things. It's a very vital part to your spiritual walk. That's the reason we're somewhat anemic in the things of God, because we've not fellowshipped with God. We've not spent time in his word. We've not spent time just meditation, just reflecting. The world and its culture and the spirit of this world will try its best to keep you and I so busy that we don't have time. But we have to redeem the time. We have to make sure that we invest in this thing. Do you know that there's 59 one another's? 59 to 63 one another's in the Bible. It's all according to which version you're going to be reading. Love one another. Serve one another. Edify one another. I mean, just there's 50. Well, how are you going to do that if you're not around one another? Look it up sometime. All these one another's. And it's for us to fellowship with one another in these ways. Encourage one another. You know, when the geese fly, they get in this V formation. Do you know when they're in this V formation, they can go 71% farther than one goose can fly by itself. 71% down the road. Why? They're together. They're in this thing together. And they're honking. You know? That's pretty good, wasn't it? They're honking, and researchers say that the one will come out and take the lead, and the other one will fall back, and the other one are honking just to. I don't know what they're saying. You can do it. You can do it. Keep going. Keep swimming. Keep swimming. You can do this. We got this. Together, we're going to make it. But we'll try to do things all by ourselves when God has provided us a means of fellowship that we can do things at a much greater scale. Because we're in fellowship with each other and in unity with each other and not alone. You see how vital this thing of fellowship really is? And yet it's talked about very little, studied very little. But we can go a lot further. One more thing, and I'm going to close with this. Why is it so important to fellowship? One more thing. Ephesians 3, I don't have this up. Ephesians 3, verse 8 through 13. To me, who am least than the rest, the least of all these saints, this grace was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. And to make, I think I'm using the King James Version, the New King James Version on this one. If you're going to put it up there, he said that that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see. Here's the revelation: to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery. The fellowship of the mystery. The mystery is what's been hidden, what's not, what hasn't been revealed. He said, I want you to see the fellowship of this mystery, which is from the beginning of the ages, has been hidden in God. Hidden in God. I looked at this and saw, and you know what this hidden in God means here? It's in his bosom. Where are you going to have to get that revelation? Where are you going to have to be? In his lap. You're going to have to be like John and leaning into the bosom of the Father as he leaned into the bosom of Jesus. And he was so confident that he was the most loved. Hidden in God, in his bosom. Created all things through Jesus Christ to the intent. What is the intent? Why do I need to do that? Here's the intention. Here's the results of fellowshipping that close with God. Number one, revelation comes. To the intent that the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church. Where is the manifold wisdom of God going to come from as far as making it known? It's going to come from the church. How are we going to do that? By leaning in and having fellowship with the secrets that God reveals. Might be made known by the church. Who are we going to reveal it to? To the principalities and powers in heavenly places. That's both the angelic angels in heaven, and it's the fallen angels. It fits both of them. Why? Because First Peter says that this revealing of what we've received, the angels of God, the heavenly angels, are looking. They just ready to look at it. That's what he said. He says they're wanting to look at it. They want to peer into it. So we reveal the manifold wisdom of God to the angels that are around the front throne, because they're not all-knowing. Also to the fallen angels. We reveal to them the very things about manifold wisdom. Here's some of the manifold wisdom. Manifold means multi. It's a multicolored thing. It's just multi, variegated colors. So it's just all over the place. What? How about this thing called the incarnation of Jesus? That's a manifold wisdom. How about redemption? How about the wisdom of God in redemption? The wisdom of God in the cross. The wisdom of God in the resurrection. The wisdom of God in prayer. What prayer can do. The wisdom of God in renewing your mind. So much wisdom of God. You can't exhaust that. But we are to reveal it. We are to make it known to the angels in heaven, and the angels that are down here, the ones that are fallen. We're to make it known. It's like we're the theater. Amen. And they're watching. They came to watch the, not a movie, they came to watch the life be revealed. Amen. Why? Because we're in fellowship with the secret places of God. Oh, I don't have time for that. So that's easy to say and easy to do, to push it aside. That passage, 1 Peter 1:12, heavenly angels long to see it. That's what he says. But the fallen angels fear it. Do you ever like to put the devil on the run? You know, it didn't say just resist him and he'll flee. What did it say first? Submit. That's the word submit is connected to fellowship. Amen. You're surrendered in your fellowship to God. And then whatever he brings, you just say, ain't going, nah. And in the process of that, see, he didn't see you just doing it. He sees God saying, let's get on out of here. And the Bible says that he will flee. Didn't mean he'll casually walk off. It means he will run with haste. Put the devil on the run. And if we don't, Revelation talks about that. He says, he who stands, he who holds the stars, he said he's speaking to the church in Ephesus. He's got seven stars in his hand and he walks, and the Bible says he is the one who walks among the seven golden lampstands. He is the one who walks among the lampstands. And he says, I know your deeds. Here's what he has to say. I know your deeds. I know your toil. I know your perseverance. And you cannot endure evil men. You won't put up with evil men. And you will put to test all those who call themselves apostles and they are not. And you have found them to be false. And you have perseverance and you have endured for my name's sake and have not grown weary. Well, that's good. Boy, that's good, isn't it? But I have this against you, that you have left your first love. You've got all this other stuff going on, and you've been excellent at it. But here's what I've got against you. You've left your first love. He says, remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, and repent and do the deeds that you did at first, or else I am coming to you, and I will remove your lampstand out of its place unless you repent. Now, let's look at this. The lampstand, listen. Who is walking amongst the lampstand? Jesus is. Amongst all the lampstands. The lampstand in the previous verse says the lampstand is the church. The seven lampstands are the churches. The lampstand is the church. Everybody say, the lampstand is the church. Not individual. It's the church. He says, you have left your first love. What does that mean? And notice that it is not capitalized. It didn't say you left a person. You left your first love. What does that mean? It means you neglected the priority of fellowship with him. Then he goes on and says, I want you to remember from where you've fallen, this thing of fellowship. I want you to remember it. He said, because if you don't repent, I'm coming and I'm going to, what does it say? Remove your lampstand. Notice he didn't say, I'm going to remove your light as an individual. People will say that, but it's not what he's talking about. He's talking to the church. He said, I'll remove the lampstand. What is he saying? He's saying this. He said, listen, if you guys do not understand that I want you to fellowship with me and the first love, you've done all this other stuff and you've done it mightily, but your first love, you have neglected the fellowship. You have neglected the agape. What did Jesus say about if any man lights a lamp, he doesn't put it under a bushel. What does he do with it? He puts it upon a lampstand. He gets with the church. The lampstand. He activates himself with the church. And then where do you put it? He says, a city on a hill. And he says that once the lampstand is there, it gives light to everybody that is in the house. And then he says in this, I will remove the lampstand from its place. What does that mean? The influence of the church will be zilch. That's why we should not neglect fellowship. We should not neglect the agape, getting with him, connecting with him. Okay. Y'all are quiet. If you need to repent, it's just fine. I want you to stand to your feet. That is good stuff. Spirit-led, Spirit-given. Now what do we do? Some of us need to repent. So if you need to repent, you just repent now and say, Father, I'm coming back. I'm turning from this thing that has kept me away from you. I'm turning from this thing that has kept me at a distance. And I am coming to you and you are running for me. Deepen my fellowship with you. Grow us into a way, God, that we can outmatch, outdo anything that the enemy throws. Because we're secure in you and we're strengthened by our fellowship with you. We love you and we thank you. And we celebrate these missionaries. We celebrate their answer to your call. And we ask you now, Lord, to watch over them as they go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Take this word and use it. Put it into practice. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org. Or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.